We're in agreement this morning that we are a most blessed and privileged people. Amen. That we have a place to go, and God set that up for us, but we have a place to go, and we have a people to go meet with where we can share our lives together. We share our burdens, our sorrows, and we also share the joys of life, life itself. That we have a people, a family to come to and to help each other. And that's part of what the church is, isn't it? It is a family, a place where we go to love and to care for each other, to help one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. And so God has blessed us with another week. And we also get to come together. And as the sentiment has been this morning at different moments, that life right now is hard and is a challenge for many people. There's a lot of things going on in our world, in our church families' lives, and also in our community. But as the people of God, we have a place to go to renew our covenant relationship with God, what He did for us through Jesus, and to remind us, church, remind us that we were never put here to get very comfortable. That's not why you and I are here. Because God knows better than we do, and He's got something waiting for us, right? That's what the good book says. That's what the Word of God tells us. There is a home far away. There is a place waiting for us where God is, where Jesus is. And we're told that's where we're going. And I think that's why we just a few moments ago just took the Lord's Supper. To remind ourselves of that death, that resurrection, and that one who's coming back again to get us, to bring us home with Him, wherever that is. And that's what we live for. And that's what we need to constantly remind each other about. As parents, reminding our children. As friends, reminding one another, whoever we are, wherever we're at, reminding one another of that. You know, we wrapped up last week the book of Acts, and it was fitting on Easter Sunday. We had our largest attendance, actually. We had 154 people last Sunday, and we've got a few less than that this morning, but we got a good crowd. Numbers aren't everything, we know that. But 154 people, and we did wrap up at some point. We have to, so I thought last week was a good point to wrap up the book of Acts, as we focused, of course, on the central message that was brought forth by the apostles and modeled by the church of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus. That message that the early church was founded upon, and everything centered around the resurrection. Because remember what Peter said in his sermon, and really every sermon had this in Acts, but Peter said in chapter 3:15 that it was a fact to which we are all witnesses. What? The resurrection. Jesus alive from the dead. And that was his message, that was their message, this very fact that caused the church to just come forth. We've said it burst forth, right? Spread like a raging wildfire. And by the way, it is still affecting lives today. It is still impacting our world. It's impacting your life, I think. It's impacting my life and your life and our life. That's why we're here. So it's still affecting people's lives. Now, before we dive into the message for this morning, I want to bring us back again. And I know it's very repetitious, but repetition convinces us. That's the way we are as people. We're convinced by repetition. But I want you to go back and think again about our vision for the year and who we are. And what we're striving for, church. That we are striving to be a church that is reaching for this devotion. And where did we witness this devotion first in the church, but with the early church? As we go back to Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when they said, and they were, or Luke recorded, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And so it was to these things that the church had a profound dedication. They were profoundly dedicated to these things. And that's what we want to be dedicated to as well. That we want to reach for these things. Now, I've kind of packaged it a little different by saying we want to reach up, right? In our relationship to God in faith, that is your commitment, right? To reach up to God, to grow in your faith, to reach out, that is our devotion to our influence in life. That would be community, right? Whether it be the community at our job or community in Windsor, wherever we are, the community of people and influencing and then reaching in, which has to do with us. The body here. And that is our connectedness, right? Commitment. You have community and connectedness, which is our relationship and how relational God wants us to be. Hebrews chapter 10, 24. Remember the Hebrew writer, as those Jewish Christians are struggling with going back into the law system. The Hebrew writer says, let us consider, think, how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. Now, we usually go on to the next verse and we say, not forsaking our own assembling together is the habit of some, right? But encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. By separating themselves from the body and not being together and going back into Judaism, how are they going to encourage one another? Help each other. How are they going to be able to even consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds? How are they going to know what to stimulate one another to love and good deeds in, and how to do that? One thing I'm realizing more and more, as, and I know you are as well, as you read God's Word, is how many scriptures and how much of the scriptures seem to be spent in thinking about one another in the body. I mean, just get your minds thinking of all the scriptures you know and all the references to one another and how they are to be amongst one another and treat one another. It's all through the Bible. And the acting, listen to this, the acting of the good of one another. How much of Scripture is full of that? Paul said to the little group at Philippi in chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, that they are to do nothing from selfishness. Nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Well, that's a text you could take with you the rest of your life, right? Do not merely look out for your own interests. You're not here to just look after you. Paul is saying you're here to look after one another. It's a one another religion. I've been thinking a lot lately about this, and I've been thinking about this word right here up on our screen, the word purpose. And I want you to put that in your minds this morning as we look at our lesson. Purpose and what that means. Think about purpose and what a purposeful life looks like. Do you have purpose? Do I have purpose? And how much of the scripture also references this thought of purpose? I was thinking of Paul as he wrote to the Corinthians in chapter 6, 19 through 20, when he said, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Question. Who is in you, whom you have from God? He says, and that you are not your own. For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, he says, glorify God in your body. Notice that very phrase, and that you are not your own. You've been purchased, Paul is saying. You have been bought with a price. We know what that price is. The very blood of our Lord that we commemorated again, as we do every first day of the week. Now I want you to remember back to the Corinthian life and the background, because their prior life was full of fornication. It was full of immorality. Their whole culture was immoral. We know that they joined themselves to the temple prostitutes in their pagan idolatrous worship, that it was part of their practice of worship. That doesn't even begin to describe everything about this immoral culture. But it helps us understand why Paul would say to this group, who by the way came out of that, into the church. Yeah, out of that life into the church. And we can understand why Paul in verse 18 would say, flee from those things. Flee from immorality, fornication, sexual immorality, all sexual practices outside of God's desire, which is a man and a woman in marriage, right? We know that. But flee immorality. Every other sin, he says, a man commits is outside of his body, but the immoral person or man sins against his own body. There is a difference there. And he is stressing that difference. And so this verse, this idea of purpose, has been on my mind a lot. And I want us to think about it. You know, there seems to be so many problems in our world today. I mean, everywhere it looks, seems to be so little purpose in our world today and in the lives of so many people. I don't think I'm the only one that sees that. We live in a world that doesn't seem to have it away. It doesn't seem to have real purpose. And yet what Paul says to the Corinthians screams out purpose. Here is your reason for living your life. And what was that? But to glorify God in your body. To live your life for God. To be purposeful. To live a purposeful life. I think another way that what Paul is saying is really what your purpose is to die to you and to live for Christ. If I could wrap that up in a nutshell, I think that's what Paul is saying. That's what it really means to glorify God in your body. To die to you, to die to me, to live for Christ. Purpose. True purpose that God has called every one of us to. Now that Jesus has bought us, brought us back to a relationship with God, our lives are not for our own purpose. That's why I said, and you are not your own. And I don't think that was just for the Corinthians. I think that's a truth that is universal to every people that have been bought by the blood of Christ. He purchased us, church, to seek and please Him. At our core of our purpose is to please Him, to reflect the image of God as best we can, to reflect the very image of Christ. Here's a big part of the issue as I look at purpose today, and I think a lack of purpose, and what I'm hearing from different places in our world today is that the Christianity that you and I are part of is a dying religion. You ever heard that? It's your religion that you come here, that you confess, that you believe in, to live by, is a dying religion. I want you to listen to this article by Brett McCracken. It was an article on the internet that I got, titled The Dying Away of Cultural Christianity. Listen closely to what this gentleman wrote. He also wrote a book on this. But McCracken said, following Christ is not one's golden ticket to a white picket fence American dream. It's an invitation to die. It's an invitation to pick up a cross. Christians are those who give themselves away in love and sacrifice to advance a kingdom that is not of this world. Isn't that true? Look, any way you look at it, any way you peel it back, the heart of our religion and faith is not comfort. It's a cross. Jesus called me to a cross. And I wrestle with that as much as you do and any other Christian in America does. But I know we were called to die, an invitation to die, an invitation to a cross. And every one of us has to balance this comfort out with the cross that Jesus called us personally to. How do you balance that out? It reminded me of what Jesus said, and he knew the hearts of men, didn't he, better than anybody? The simple parable of the sower as the farmer goes out and he broadcasts his seed, right? And he said some fell by the roadside, some of the seed fell by the rocky, some of it fell by the thorny soil, and some of it fell by the good soil, right? But remember the thorny soil, that seed went into the soil and it grew. The crop, the plant grew, but something else grew among it. The thorns, right? And what did the thorns do but choke them out? And Jesus related this 2,000 years ago. The worry of the world and deceitfulness of wealth. Is that not our world today? Is that not America? Is that not our struggle too at some level? The worry of the world, the deceitfulness of wealth, and it chokes out the Word of God. And so the Word is not, that life is not fruitful. Does not bear fruit. For Jesus did say, you cannot serve God and wealth. You cannot serve both. He did not say you cannot serve God and have wealth. That's not what he said. He said you cannot serve God and wealth. Both cannot be our God. Our Christianity, though, by the way, let me say this morning for the sake of this lesson, it is a dying religion. It really is a dying religion. You and I were called to a dying religion. Matter of fact, when you go back and you look at your first call as a Christian, you will see you were called there to die. Now, this would be a very contradiction to a first century Jew who didn't think of the Messiah as someone that would die. That's a contradiction. They're thinking of a deliverer. A Messiah that is going to conquer the nations and deliver them from the rule of the other nations, the pagan world. But what did Jesus say at the heart of his preaching, the heart of his ministry, when he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw men unto me. Now what you find at that very heart is death. That Jesus was lifted up on a cross. He was lifted up out of the tomb. He was lifted up into heaven. And he calls us to lift him up in our lives every day we live. The dying Lord. Russell Moore wrote about the book of Acts. Like the Gospels before, it shows us that Christianity thrives when it is, as Kierkegaard put it, a sign of contradiction. Only a strange gospel can differentiate itself from the worlds we construct. But the strange, freakish, foolish old gospel, he said, is what God uses to save people and resurrect churches. 1 Corinthians 1:20 to 22. What did Paul say there about the preaching of the cross, the death of our Lord and the resurrection? He said, to those who are perishing, who don't believe in it, it is foolishness. It is foolishness. So as we look at our culture today, and they don't believe in the preaching, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's foolishness to them. And it's foolishness to them because they are perishing. That's what Paul said. This idea, the thought, anytime we think about death, is a very strange thing. It's a very hard thing for us to really put our minds around, isn't it? To grasp death. And for me, I think one reason is because death has a strange power to it. Right now we have family members, and our condolences go out to the Ward family and others who recently have lost loved ones. It's part of our life. We have all dealt with death, and it's hard to deal with. But the strange thing about death is this drawing power, that death has drawing power. Have you ever thought about that? What do you think Jesus meant when he said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw men unto myself? Death draws. Think about families when there is a death and how families will be drawn together. Matter of fact, families that haven't, members that haven't seen each other from childhood. Why is that? Because death draws. We also know, you could also say it pushes away, but for some people it draws them away from their families. I've experienced that too. I've seen that in people's lives. But it has drawing power. Think about individuals who through death, for various reasons, are drawn closer to God, not further away from God. Death draws us. Some people it does draw them further away. But in my experience, it draws more people to God. But it was Jesus' death that we see that at his, at the heart of it would be the power to draw all men to God. Think about a hero. And Jesus was our hero. The hero of our soul. What draws people to a hero? You say, well, their lives and the way they live. But also, oftentimes, it's the way they died. That's what draws you to a hero, what drew us to Jesus, the hero of our soul, the highest example, a true hero. For what is it that drew you and I out of darkness? When you go back and you look at your life of old and you came to this Jesus and he called you and drew you out of a dark world, out of all the sin, immorality, drug abuse, alcoholism. I don't know what it is, but he drew you. He drew you out of that world, out of darkness in the light. And who else is still drawing us today? I don't know about you, but he's still drawing me out of darkness. I'm still dealing with darkness. Remember Romans chapter 8 when Paul said, listen to the Romans there. They're saved. They're Christians. He said, we are still putting to death the deeds of our body. In other words, we're still dying. Now think about this again when it comes to Christianity being a dying religion. When you came to Jesus, as Romans chapter 6 said, you were buried with him in baptism. What was that baptism? But a death. It was a spiritual thing, right? We know that. It was your death, but more than that, Paul will say, you were united in the likeness of his death. The emphasis there was the death of Jesus and dying with Jesus in that act. And then he called us to die to sin, right? This is Peter, wasn't just one person's word. Peter said it as well. Look at this verse. For you have been called for this purpose. There's our word. What purpose, Peter? What purpose have we been called to? And I know this is tough stuff, but it's the word of God. He said, this is your purpose since Christ suffered for you. Leaving you an example to do what? But to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he didn't revile in return. He didn't get back at them, use abusive speech, retaliate. But while suffering, what a hero. While suffering, he uttered no threats. You want to talk about strength. But he kept entrusting. He trusted. Entrusting himself to the one who judges righteously. That's living with a purpose, isn't it? The very purpose that he called you and I to do, to glorify God in our body. What are we willing to die for? I had to ask myself that question this week. I don't know if I can answer that very well. I know what I want to die for, but I've never been in the situation. But when I can, you and you can really answer that question, what we're willing to die for, we can understand what we're willing to live for, or what we truly are living for. Our purpose. Think of these verses, and you know them, and many more. Mark 8, 34 and 35, take up your cross, follow me. What does that imply? Luke 17, 33, that if you save your life, you will lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, you find it. Our Lord said that. Paul the Apostle would say in Philippians 1, 21, he'll say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is what, church? He said it's gain. He sees beyond. And even outside of the scriptures themselves, there are those that experience the best and worst of humanity, like Viktor Frankl, who experienced the Holocaust, that terrible time in the history of humanity. But listen to what Viktor Frankl said. He said, this is the core of the human spirit, that if we can find something to live for, something to live for, if we can find some meaning to put at the center of our lives, even the worst kind of suffering becomes bearable. And he witnessed that firsthand in the lives of survivors, or some that did not survive as well. But if we could find something to live for, that's what Christianity is about. The ultimate purpose for you and I to live for. We're part of the greatest purpose, church, ever given to humanity. Ever. To live for God. To follow Jesus. To be a light in this dark world. And death, yes, it is inevitable for me, for you, and for everybody. But as the good book says, it is not the final word. It does not have the last say. Hebrew writer said it is appointed for men to die once, and after this will come the judgment. I'm like you. I'm thankful to God I only have to go through it once. I don't want to go through it anymore. But I have to. We all do. And God calls me, God calls you, yes, by faith in Jesus, to do this, to live this life, and even to go to our death with this purpose. So the next time someone says to you in a roundabout way, yeah, well, whatever, you believe in Christianity, that's just a dying religion, you know what to say. You're right, my friend, I am part of a dying religion. I worship and serve a dying Lord who called me to die with him, who called me to take up his cross, and that's the one that I choose to live with. I am part of a dying religion. To live and to die with a purpose. Some of you are familiar with the Indian warrior Tecumseh. This is not Jesus, but I want you to think about the spirit here. The spirit of his words, okay? The strength, the purpose, the conviction. He was of the Shawnee Nation. And this was a speech that he gave. And I put it together. I didn't use all of it. Because it was long, I couldn't use every little bit of it. But listen to what he said to his people. He said, love your life and beautify all things in your life. Seek to make your life long and its purpose in the service of your people. Show respect to all people and grovel at none. And when it comes time to die, be not like those whose hearts are filled with the fear of death, so that when their time comes, they weep and they pray for a little more time to live, a little more time to live their lives over again in a different way. He said, sing your death song and die like a hero going home. Listen to the strength in his words, the courage. And yet we're called to a greater life, in my opinion, than to what Tecumseh was calling his people to live their life for. To show the world? To show our people? to show our families that life is not about us, that it's about Jesus, the hero of our soul. And in the end, to sing that death song, our Christian death song, and to die like Him as He called us to do, going home, because we're looking for something better. And so this is it. This is the lesson. Let us devote our lives to this very purpose. To live our lives like Jesus, our hero. To live our lives as if we are going home to be with the Lord. That's the lesson. Ken has got an encouragement song for us this morning. And we offer the invitation to anybody that is in a situation that they feel they need to respond, whatever your situation might be. Maybe you just need prayers today because you're struggling with some deep issues. I don't know what those issues are. Nobody does, but we do want to help you because we're a family. Maybe you haven't died with the Lord yet. You haven't become united in the likeness of His death and baptism. That's the only place that Scripture says that you can do that. And we want to assist you and help you do that this morning. Let's stand, let's sing. And if you would like to do that, would you come?